light switch. I don't know how to use this. I do have. Yeah. Oh, that one. Is that better? Okay, I guess we're all here. Nice to see so many of you guys here. Seems that built-in replication is something that people are interested in. That's good. So the built-in replication in 9.0, this is something that the project has kind of, we always thought that we're not going to have built-in replication because there's so many different solutions out there, and there is Sloaney and Bucardo and Lundestad, and there's all kinds of solutions that can solve slightly different problems. I think the reason why we decided to have built-in replication in 9.0 is that this relies on the write-ahead logs, which is very internal format to the server, and it's not really something that you can do outside the server. You can't read the write-ahead logs reliably outside the server because you need intimate knowledge of all the formats and stuff. So in 9.0, we have two new features that work great together. We have streaming replication, which allows you to stream over the write-ahead logs to another server as it's generated. In previous versions, you could do the same thing, but you could ship over your write-ahead logs to another server, and this is well documented in the documentation. But it was file-based, so you would only ship full files, 16-megabyte files, as they get filled up. So in 9.0, you can do that more frequently. You can stream the wire as it's generated. So you get much smaller latency between when stuff gets shipped over. That alone wouldn't be that interesting. It's good for warm standby. You get more up-to-date warm standby. And that's the reason why people have been using the file-based shipping before. But what really makes it shine is the hot standby feature, because that allows you to actually connect to your standby server and run queries. So you really get this cool synergy between these two features, where they complement each other, and neither one of them would be that interesting on their own, but together they work really well. So an important thing to understand in 9.0 is that a server can be put into what's called a standby mode. Before 9.0, when you run, for example, PG Standby or PetroTools or one of those other toolkits that allow you to run a standby server, the server itself doesn't understand that it's in a standby mode. It's just running recovery, and it's the external tools that make the recovery never end. It just keeps pulling an archive or something. But in 9.0, the server actually knows that it's a standby server and it's in standby mode. In standby mode, the server it never finishes recovery unless you tell it to finish it. So it keeps pulling the archive if you have restore command set up. It keeps pulling any existing files in PGXlog, and it keeps streaming while from the master server if you're using streaming replication. So this is the key difference between the previous, using PG Standby or similar tools in previous releases and the built-in replication in 9.0, the server knows that it's in standby mode and it behaves differently. PG Standby and those other tools still work. You have to set them up just like you did before. So if you're using one of those tools and you just want to switch over you just want to upgrade your old setup to the new setup and you don't want to play with the new replication stuff, you can still use your old file-based replication using PG Standby or those other tools. But if you do that, then you don't put the server in the standby mode. Then you want the external tool to handle the standby functionality, so you don't put the server in the standby mode. But for the new built-in replication, you do. So when the server is in standby mode, it tries to restore files from the archive using restore command. So this is for file-based replication. if you want to have a similar setup you did in previous releases. It also pulls any files in PGX logs, so you, in theory you could build your replication so that you manually somehow copy your files to PGX log and the system will just pick them up and apply. Or while gets streamed from the master using the new streaming replication feature. So this is just an example of how to set up a file-based warm standby server, which is basically exactly the same functionality you had in previous releases using PG standby. This is how you set it up using the new standby mode. There's a bunch of new options that you need to set. I'm going to explain those in more detail later. This just shows one scenario of how you could use this. And when you start up your standby server in the new standby mode, you can see that there's a line which says entering standby mode. And that's how you know that the server is in, well, standby mode. It's going to restore the files from the archive, as in previous releases. There's a new line here in the logs that you didn't get before. Or maybe you did in 8.4, I'm not sure. It says that it has reached consistent recovery state. And that's an important point because it means that after that point, you could end recovery and you would have a consistent server. Before that point, if you stop the server or try to fail over, you will get an error when you try to start it up. It will say that it's not consistent, you can't do that. And then you get these no such file or directory errors that a lot of new users get confused by. Those are perfectly normal. It just means that the file isn't there yet. So, in the standby mode, you can define a trigger file in the recovery.conf file, which is a file that when the standby server sees that that file exists, when you create that file, it will finish recovery at that point, which is what you would want to do when you fail over your hot standby or warm standby server. And what will happen then is that you get a line in the log saying trigger file found, and it will finish recovery. Select a new timeline ID, and it will say that it's ready to accept connections. This is not any different from previous releases, except that, again, the server is now handling that functionality built in. Before, you had similar options in PG standby or those other tools where you could specify a trigger file or some other method to trigger a failover. Now it's built in. So, to enable hot standby, it's really simple to set up. You just flip a switch in your postgresql.conf file in the standby server. You say hot standby on. There's another new option called while level, which I will explain in more detail later, but you will also have to set that in the master, or otherwise hot standby won't work. But that's simple. So there's one setting in the standby, one setting in the master, and you have hot standby. It's really easy to set up. People sometimes joke that setting up a standby server in Postgres is complicated, but I don't actually think it is that complicated anymore. It's pretty simple now. Hot standby doesn't add much administrative overhead. If you already have a warm standby set up, it's really simple to turn it into a hot standby. When you enable hot standby, you will see this line. Again, you have the entering standby mode, but after the database reaches consistency, you will see that line saying database system is ready to accept read-only connections, which means that after that point, you can connect to the server and run your queries as usual. Again, there's some line saying no such file directory. That's normal. Also, you get other errors when the replay hits the end of the valid write-ahead log, you will get all kinds of errors that are expected and nothing to worry about. Perhaps we should think about if we should suppress those messages to not alarm users, but you do get those now. So, streaming replication is a system where the write-ahead logs are shipped from the master as they're generated. It's asynchronous. We don't have synchronous replication in 9.0 yet. The patch that was submitted originally had that functionality, but it is just so complicated that we decided to, well, let's start with asynchronous replication first and get that working before we try to do the harder synchronous one. So there's always a delay of a few hundred milliseconds between the master and the standby. You could actually do this in the previous releases too. There is documentation on how to do record-based log shipping, but it was a bit complicated to set up. And there was tools that did this, but we had to kind of build this into the system to enable hot standby to work with it. Because in the previous releases, the way it worked, it was that you have an external tool that pulls the PGX log directory in the master, and as the while is generated, it copied the pieces of those files over, but it was still only applied one full file at a time. So that would not work, and it won't work well with hot standby because it will always lag more behind. It will lag one while segment behind. So we have to, in order to take advantage of hot standby, you know, properly, we had to build in stream replication too. So for streaming replication, there's a few options you need to set. In the master, to enable it, you have to set the new while level, which I will again explain later. And then you set max while senders to something other than zero, so that the master will accept the connection from the standby. So the way it works is that the standby connects using libpq to the master and says, I want to start a replication session. Which is very similar to a normal user session in that you can set up, for example, authentication just like you would for normal EPQ sessions. You have all the same options of certificate-based authentication and so forth. So all that will work with the stream replication connection too. And in the standby, you set, first of all, you always have to set standby mode true to use any of these new features, and you set primary connection info, which means this is a libpq connection string, just like you would use in PSQL or whatever client, which tells the standby how to connect to the master to start replicating. Is there any questions at this point? Just going to go through the various scenarios first, and then I'm going to explain the options in more detail. And I'm expecting a lot of questions because this is exciting stuff. So when you enable streaming replication, you will see a line in the log saying streaming replication successfully connected to the primary. And at that point, it will, well, stream all the logs. So I've gone through quickly these various scenarios of how to set this thing up. When you put it all together, what you have is a system where you have while archive, like you did in previous releases, or not. It's optional. You don't have to use that, but there is some caveats if you don't. And then you can set up stream of replication to stream the logs on the fly as it's generated, or not. You can still use hot standby without it. Well, this is just a summary of all the options there is. And in the standby, you have basically four options in the recovery.conf file that you have to set. The standby mode, which you should always turn on if you want to use any of these new options in the standby server. There's trigger file. If you're running, for example, a reporting server that you never intend to fail over to, you just want to keep streaming from the master, whatever it does, you don't need that. But if you want to set up a standby server that takes over from the master at some point, you want to fail over to that, then you use a trigger file for that. And then there's restore command, like you had in previous releases, which tells how to copy files from the archive directory. And note that you use a plain command like cp there. You don't use pg standby with this system. And then there's the new option for stream replication, primary connection info. And in postgresql.conf, there's one setting to set up to either enable or disable hot standby. And there's the new setting called max standby delay, which I think we'll probably rename that to something else and change, because there's been a lot of contention on that one on the mailing list, because it doesn't, at the moment, it doesn't work properly unless you set it to 0 or -1. That's probably going to change, but we don't know exactly what it's going to change to. In summary, these are the new options we have in the master. There's a WOW level, this Max WOW Senders, which is it's like Max Connections, but for the streaming connection. So if you have 10 standbys all streaming from the same master, you have to set Max WOW Senders to at least 10, or they will get an error saying there's too many connections. You should leave some headroom, because if one of the TCP connections dies and the server doesn't realize that, it's going to take a while for it to notice that the connection is gone. And then there's a setting called WOW Keep Segments, which specifies how many segments, WOW segments, the master should keep around for the standby servers, because the standby server, when it connects to the master, it's going to need the old WOW files that the master doesn't need anymore to catch up. And WOW Keep Segments is a setting to control how many the master should keep around for that purpose. And there's another setting called Vacuum Defer Cleanup Edge, which I will explain. So WOW level is a new setting in the master to specify how much information should be written to the write-ahead log. Before, we used to use the archive mode command for the archive mode option for this, and all we had was the minimal and archive level. So in previous releases, when you set archive mode off, you get the minimal level, and if you set archive mode on, you get the archive level. It controls what information is written in the logs. In the minimal mode, we only write enough to ensure that if you're running a single server and you crash, we can always do crash recovery reliably. But that's not enough for file-based log shipping, because we can optimize some operations like create index by not writing the log if we just fsync the whole file at the end. But for archive purposes, we have to always while log that those operations so that the standby gets the information. But now there's a new option called a new level called hot standby, which is just like the old archive level, except that it adds a little bit more information about transactions that are running in the system, so that the standby can the standby needs that information to do hot standby basically. It should have very little impact on performance, but since it's a new feature, we decided that it's good to have an option to turn it off so that you get the old behavior, just in case there's problems with that. Or for some reason, you have a use case that happens to have a performance problem with that. If you're running a production server and you don't need hot standby, you're probably fine with the archive mode. But if you're just playing with the system, I think you can just always set a while level to hot standby, and you shouldn't see any performance difference. But it's a new feature, so maybe there's something we're missing. Yes?
If you have to set to archive or hot standby, then can you turn archive mode on while
No, we don't support that. It probably wouldn't be very hard to do that now that we have while level as a separate option. So that's something we should look at in 9.1. In previous releases, the reason why you couldn't set archive mode on the fly was precisely because of these issues, that the archive mode also controlled what's logged. But now that we have a separate option for that, we probably could relax archive mode. We haven't looked into that yet. Yes? Yeah, we still have archive mode. Archive mode now means whether we start the PG archiver process and actually try to copy the files to the archive. So if you set archive mode off, if you set archive mode on, we will, for example, not recycle the old WOW segments before they're archived. But if you set it archive mode off, we will, there's no archive, so we just recycle them or remove the old segments as they get too old. So that's what archive mode controls now. Yes? Yeah, both archive mode and while level are, you can't set them on the fly. So that situation doesn't really arise. I guess you get a warning saying this setting won't have effect until you restart. I think that's what happens. So in summary, we don't believe that there's much difference between archive and hot standby in terms of performance. But if you want to be super safe, you use just archive mode if you don't want to use hot standby. I hope we'll get more feedback on that, and maybe we can, well, I guess we'll still want to have the separate levels, but there was a long discussion on whether we even need to distinct between those two levels, because the difference should be minimal. So another option I explained already in the master is the max wall senders, which is just like max connections, but for streaming replication connections. You just set it to a high enough value, basically. That's all the tuning you need to do there. So while keep segments, as I explained, if you use an archive, the master will always copy the files to the archive, and it won't delete the while files before they're safely in the archive. So if you're using an archive, you don't need this setting, because the standby server that you set up, even though if you normally do stream replication, if it falls behind a lot so that the files it needs are no longer in the master, it will find them in the archive. But if you don't use an archive, then you have a problem. Because what can happen is that the master has already recycled the old while files. It has moved on, but the standby would still need them, and the master doesn't know that. So we have a new setting called while keep segments, which lets you set, for example, always keep the last 1,000 or the last 100 while segments, just in case there's an old standby somewhere that will still need it. So if you're not using an archive, if you just want to use streaming replication without an archive, then you should always set while keep segments to something that's high enough. And the problem is that there's really no safe setting for high enough. It's just if the standby falls behind too much, it will always run out of disk space in the master. The situation can always arise that it no longer finds the files you need. But in practice, this should work just fine. If you have 10 gigabytes of disk space on the master, you just set while keep segments to use all that, and you should be fine. The standby should always find those files it needs in practice. So that's what while keep segments is for. With hot standby, this is a concept that's pretty well explained in the documentation, and Simon, who wrote the hot standby patch, has always been very worried about this problem, which is that in hot standby, there's a way you can get a conflict between the while replay and the read-only query you're running. This situation doesn't arise in the master normally, because in the master, when there's a old transaction running, we don't delete any rows that transaction still needs. Because then you get basically a snapshot to old error like you do on Oracle. So in the master, this doesn't happen because we just never delete rows that are needed. We keep the old tuple versions always there on the disk long enough until we're sure that there's no query running that still needs them. However, in the standby, we're just replaying the while that was generated in the master. So you can have queries running in the standby that are running much longer than they did on the master. So it can happen that there's a query running that needs tuple version X of a role, because that's the one that's visible to it. It's a long-running reporting query. But in the master, we're already vacuuming that tuple. So when we try to replay the record that vacuums that tuple on the standby, we have a problem, because if we go ahead and replay that record, the query won't see that record, that row anymore, and you get wrong results. So we don't allow that. You get a conflict, and there's two ways to resolve a conflict like that. Either you have to wait for the read-only query to finish so that it no longer needs that tuple, and then you can go ahead and vacuum it. Or we kill the query so that you can vacuum it right away. So we don't really know how often this is going to happen in practice, but the there's a few things that cause the conflicts. There's probably the most common one is going to be B-tree splits, because when we split a B-tree index page, at that point we do like a quick vacuum where we delete all the index pointers to tuples that are already dead. So if you have a small table that you repeatedly update like all the time with small transactions, there's going to be a lot of conflicts on that table or caused by those B-tree splits. If you run any longer running queries in the standby, you will run into this issue. Another thing that causes conflicts is just plain vacuum. If you run vacuum in the master, that will delete tuples that might still be needed. And there's also things like taking exclusive locks on the master, but that probably won't happen very often in production. So, well, the best thing to do is to avoid the situation in the first place, of course. So we have a setting in the master called vacuum defer cleanup age, which allows you to set a value, say 1,000, which means that it means that when vacuum runs or B-tree splits are done or whatever, we consider transactions more recent than 1,000 as still being running. So we kind of bloat the master a little bit and we refrain from deleting those tuples in the master for a little while, because we know that the standby might still find them useful. So you don't get those conflicts as often in the standby. So it's a trade-off. You get some bloat in the master, but it reduces the chance of conflicts in the standby. It doesn't eliminate it completely. I mean, you can still run into exactly the same problem if you just try hard enough. but if you set that to a very high value, it reduces the chances. Yes. Yes, unfortunately, that's the number of transactions. I realized that the time frame would be a lot more useful in practice, but it would also be a lot harder to implement. So we just took the quick route, and it's in number of transactions. It's in number of transaction IDs, it should be mentioned. So read-only transactions that don't need a transaction ID in the master don't count. It's only updates and deletes and so when you run into the problem anyway, because, well, it doesn't solve the whole problem, you get to decide what to do when you run into a conflict. As I said, there's two options that in practice make sense, and the name of this option will probably still change. Not everyone agrees, but I think we should switch that into a Boolean, which is just, I mean, which one to do. But there's no consensus of what we're going to do with this option yet. We'll need to resolve this one way or another before the final release. So the two options are to wait for the offending query or the conflicting query to finish in the standby, which is good for reporting servers, for example, where you want to run a long-running query, and you don't really care if the standby falls behind a lot. That's okay if it falls behind 2 hours. It just after the query is finished, it will catch up. The other option is to kill the offending or the conflicting query as soon as possible so that you can always keep the standby as up-to-date as you can, which is, again, a trade-off. You will get a lot of killed queries that way. Unless they're very short, then you probably won't. But you have to prepare for that in your application, that you will get killed queries. Of course, that's what you want to do if you're running a high availability standby server that you want to quickly fail over to. You don't want to have like 2 hours of write-ahead locks waiting there to catch up when you try to fail over. So it depends on your application. What do you want to do? Which one do you prefer? And this is a setting that you can set on the fly. You can set it in the config file and reload the config file using the pgcontrol reload or the function to reload the config, and it will take effect immediately. So, for example, you could use a different setting during the night when you want to run long-running reporting queries, and during the day when you're just doing something else, you set it to zero so that you catch up as quickly as possible. So that's one way to use it. Either way, you probably want to monitor the lag between the standby and the master so that you know where you're going. The NoSQL, those of you who were in the NoSQL session this morning, this is, someone asked what kind of monitoring they have for the eventual consistency thing. This is kind of the same thing. There's eventual consistency between the master and standby, and it's a good idea to monitor the lag of how long it takes for the changes in the master to get applied into the standby. To monitor that, there's two new functions. The idea is that you get the, with the first function, pg last exlog receive location, that tells you how far, how much log you have received in the standby through stream replication, for example. So it's the difference between these two values, which basically tells you how much log there is in the standby that we have already streamed from the master, but we haven't been able to apply it for some reason. And a probable reason is that there's a conflict and we're waiting for it. Or it, another reason could be that just that the standby is too slow and can't keep up with the traffic. You can get a lag that way as well. So these two functions are a good way to monitor that. You can also connect to the master and ask for the last, what's it called? There's an existing function already in previous releases that gives you the write-ahead log position of the last while record that was written. You can connect to the master and use that function and compare that value against these two. So you get the real difference between the master and the standby, which includes all kinds of network delays and whatever you have. That's a good thing to monitor, definitely. No. You get the most up-to-date value. That would be interesting, though. So I mentioned failover. There's really nothing special about that. When you want to do failover, you create the file. You specify the path to the file. The server will delete that file after the failover, so you don't want to put anything valuable there. When you failover, a new timeline is created, just like in previous releases. There's nothing new there. But it's worth pointing out that if you have any existing read-only connections, if you're doing hot standby and you have read-only connections running, the connections will stay connected and they will just keep working even though you fail over. So you can have a long-running reporting query running on the standby and you fail over and the query will just keep running and run until the end. And the next time you can use the same connection after that to do read and write operations because you have now failed over. So it's really transparent to any applications that are connected. So the support we have is really basic, just like in previous releases. You're going to need something like a Heartbeat or a Stonython. You have to build all that infrastructure yourself to manage when you want to fail over. We don't really provide anything for that. And you're gonna want to use those monitoring functions and other like monitoring tools to figure out when you want to fail over. Again, as in previous releases, once you fail over, you will need to take a new base backup to fail back. There's no, like, unfortunately, there's no quick way to fail over or switch back to the old server. This is probably something we should address in the future. So I mentioned that for the stream replication connections, we have all the, it's based on libpq, so whatever tools you use to manage libpq, you could probably run this through pg bouncer 2 or something. I haven't tried. That would be interesting. It's just libpq, so you can configure it just like you do libpq connections. It runs on the same port or same protocol. Nothing special about that, really. And you can use the same authentication methods, SSL or password or ident or certificates to control who can connect. You need a user for streaming replication, because the streaming replication, the standby server is going to connect to the master, and it's going to need a username in the master to connect with, and that user has to have super user rights. There was some discussion on that. I think that's actually a bit bad idea, because it means that it exposes a little bit too much to the standby connection, because you could use that same username to connect regularly and do all kinds of nasty stuff that's not really necessary for just replicating. But that's the way it's set up right now. You need a super user in the master. You have to add a new role to the pghba.conf to allow the stream replication connections from the standby. The all lines don't count for replication, so all really means all but replication now. So you have to add a line to allow the connections from whatever your standby server is. And you probably want to lock this down, because you don't want to allow any regular user to connect and start streaming all your data. That would be bad. So you probably want to restrict it, lock it down as much as you want, much as you can. And as I said, you need a super user, and you should use a strong password. So under the hood, streaming replication is implemented using those two new server processes. There's what we call a while sender in the master, which speaks to a while receiver in the standby. The while sender processes are really just like backends in the master. They're very much like backends, except that it's connected to a while receiver and not a normal libpq client. In the standby, there can be multiple while sender processes in the master. If you have many standby servers, there's going to be one for each, serving each standby server. If you run PS, you will see them. And you can also see how it's doing there. It will say that's the same value you get with PG last receive location function I mentioned earlier. So you also see that in the PS display, how far it is. In this case, I'm running both the master and the server on the same host, which is why you get both these processes. But normally you would only see the while sender process in the master and one while receiver process in the standby. Yes? Yeah, it's the standby that initiates the connection. It's the standby that connects to the master. It's that way around.
It's the one that asks for the data.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the master. It's the standby that asks for the... I have a slide on that. When the while sender or the standby connects to the master, it will first authenticate using libpq, just like any other connection. It sets a small flag called replication on in the libpq authentication process, which tells the master that, hey, this is not a regular backend, this is a standby server. So it launches a while sender and not a regular backend for that. And while you're in that mode, you're not connected to any particular database, but you're connected to a special mode where we have, at the moment, we have two commands that the master accepts. There's identify system, which just replies with the timeline ID and the unique identifier for the system, so that the standby knows that it's connected to the right master and not some other random master. And because that would really screw you up if you try to use the while logs from another server but not the one you took the base backup. So it checks that by using that command, and then it will send a start replication command to the master, and it will tell where it wants to start the replication from. So that's the location of what's the last location the standby had already in PG exit directory. It will start streaming from that point on, and at that point the server will stream the while until the end of time using the copy out mode. So it's really the same protocol we use for all other stuff. And this is good because this means that it is possible to write other tools using libpq to connect to a master and start streaming while and do all kinds of stuff. Right now, we only have these two commands, but I foresee that in the future, we'll probably have facilities there to take base backups and so forth, which would be really useful. But even today, I hope one of you guys will write a PG Frontier tool to do just this and start replicating as a standalone tool to replicate from a master and ship over all the values. That would be useful. I think Magnus asked for that at some point in the development cycle. We haven't done that, but it's. I think someone will do it. To stream WoW from a master server, just dump it to disk or dev null. Yeah, that would replace the archiving, or you could replace the archive command. Oh, yes. We haven't exposed that, but there is a small API for if you want to rewrite your WoW receiver to receive the WoW from somewhere else. It was you who asked for that. We haven't really exposed that API, but it's there because we had to separate that functionality to a different library for some build issues. But it wouldn't be very hard to replace the WoW receiver with something else that receives the WoW from something else. I don't know what it would be. Yes? Doing initdb? Well, the master... Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, we don't... I think we'll definitely have that in 9.1. That's a pretty obvious thing to do as the next step. So you would connect to the master and ask for a base backup and have that shipped over, and then you could start from that. No, well, it wouldn't be this... Because the server needs a cluster or base backup to start up, so it couldn't be the normal... PostgreSQL process that would do that. I think the way it would work is that you would have a standalone tool that connects to the master, asks for the base backup, copies that over, unpacks that, and then starts the normal standby Postgres server, which then connects and starts streaming the rest of the WoW. I think that's the way it would work. We'll see about that, but the key functionality that we're missing is the ability to ship over the base backup. Though, again, nothing stops you from writing a normal user-defined function to do that. I mean, take a base backup, ship it over using a normal EPQ connection. So that's something you could definitely do as a PG Foundry project for using the stuff we have in 9.0. That would be completely feasible. No, we have you can do online backups since 8.2 or something. Yeah, you would have to run PG start backup first, and then, or the command could do it internally. But anyway, that could be handled. So you do PG start backup, then they take the base backup, ship it over, do PG start backup. And that's the stuff that you will have to do with the script or something anyway. So. I fully expect people to write those scripts, put them on PG Foundry so that everyone can use them. So this is my last slide. Any questions? Yes? There's no limit to that. It's controlled the maximum by the max WoW senders option in the master's postgresql.conf file, but if you just set it high enough, there's no limit.
In terms of load, I tested having one master and three slaves all running PGBench read only the slaves, of course, and the performance of the master dropped less than 50%, I think. It looks like
I think the bottleneck you will hit is the network bandwidth, because each of those connections is going to ship over the whole WoW. So if you're doing, well, unless it's a very idle system, then why not? But if you have any kind of load on the master, it means that you're shipping, if you have 10 standbys, you're shipping the WoW over 10 times. That's going to eat your bandwidth. Yes. we don't do cascading slaves, as it's called yet. It's on the roadmap. I think I hope someone will do that. I think the original synchronous replication patch kind of, I think it had support for that, but it wasn't really well tested or thought out, so we didn't bother in the first release. But it wouldn't be very hard to do, but we just have to. Yes. Yeah, unfortunately it is. I think someone posted about that on Hackers, or maybe it was someone who posted me personally, and he had a procedure for how to do that reliably, and I think it looked okay, but we don't officially support or endorse that. I think it could be made to work, but you can do that reliably if this master crashes, so it has to be a controlled shutdown. Otherwise, there could be any number of unapplied while that won't work. So it would have to be a clean shutdown, and I'm not sure how to do that, but if you script it, it might be possible. Sounds like what? Yeah, rsync would work. Figure that out. You don't need to restart them. I think it will actually work if you. The connections will get restarted for sure, the streaming replication connections. And I think you will get an error from streaming replication if the timeline ID changes. But we do handle that via the file based lock shipping, so I think that would actually be possible. But you will have to kind of do the DNS stuff to have it redirect the connection or something like that to kind of make it work. It's possible to make it work. You will need the archive for that, that's for sure. I think perhaps the most important future thing to do is to allow the base backup to be taken and kind of simplify all that setup by external tools or something we perhaps built in the future.
Ultimately, it would be a way to sub-hold files over the course of 5.32.
What?
Yeah.
From what?
Well, the thing is that the Postgres user on the master should be able to actually copy some of the files.
Yes.
So, in theory, you could construct something that the initial connection of the slave would actually ship copies of all of the files.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes. Yeah, that's what I mean by taking a base backup and transferring. That's definitely something I think we should do. We just ran out of time in this release. Any more questions? Yes. Can't turn a master back into a standby easily. That would be the job for rsync to kind of take another base backup. And yeah, not easily. As I said, there's probably ways to make that work reliably, but I haven't investigated it. But rsync would work. Okay, there's no more questions. Thank you all. Feel free to join the discussions on the mailing list or come speak to me directly if there's any more questions. Thanks.